see tales about ghouls chased away by garlic and vampires shrinking from crosses.
She kidnapped young girls and kept them chained to give blood. Blood for her to bathe in and drink.
And she bit them everywhere.
No.
And then she pushed white hot pokers into their faces. And when they parted their lips to scream, she shoved the flaming rod up into their mouth.
Stop it.
Blood. Beautiful red. Blood.
Stop it.
My arm. My leg. You're safe with me.
I kill no one.
Again.
It's difficult to forget.
Ah, you will. After a while, it'll only be the remembrance of a bad dream, and then the remains of a remembrance. More and more faint in your mind. I have seen many a night fall away into an even more endless night.
Nights like last night.
Who do you think I am? A kind of ghoul? A vampire? Oh, no, my dear. So many nights tumbling and tumbling away into the abyss of darkness. Faster, my love, faster.
If you think these ladies are something, wait until you meet Mother. She's something else.
Come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Welcome back, ladies and germs, to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast as we continue our threat of world domination on your internet radio. I'm your host, Colin, and I'm surrounded by the internet radio superstars, including
Brent.
You stole my joke. Sean.
Travis.
Did you say that?
No joke for the week.
Or did you think that?
No, I was going to do that. You stole it.
Sorry.
Well, you could be Valerie.
Thanks.
So, tonight's movie, I picked it. It was Daughters of Darkness from 1971, a Belgian movie, but it's made in English with English stars.
It's Belgian.
Directed by Harry Kumel, who I don't know if he's done anything.
After this, do you really need to do anything else?
Maybe. I looked him up and he had six or seven credits to his name, but I am not familiar with any of them. And I'm not really familiar with anyone in the cast except for John Carlin, who was the original Willy on Dark Shadows. I'll say it was his name. Like Willy Loomis? Is that his name? Yeah. He was the groundskeeper Willy. He's the guy who wakes Barnabas Collins up. And I want to say that probably at the time that this movie was made, Dark Shadows was still in production. So he was probably doing this
and that's why
hiatus.
They just gave him a vampire movie.
Yeah,
this guy. He does vampire films.
He knows vampires. So I guess really quick, just for an overview of what it's about, it's John Carlin and his young bride. They just get married. They're somewhere in Europe. They're on a train. They stop off at a place called Ostend, and it's like an off-season hotel that they end up staying at. And the Countess Elizabeth Báthory arrives, and if you know your history, you know she was the Blood Countess. There was a famous story.
Right?
Yeah, she is a legend, like the female Dracula, Countess Dracula. There was a movie Ingrid Pitt made, Countess Dracula, and she's killed a bunch of girls way back in the day, and then they walled her up and killed her. Anyway, she's the main character or the main antagonist of this movie. She starts making moves on the young couple. And she has a fetching sidekick servant Renfield?
It's definitely a Secretary Renfield.
Yeah,
kind of a loner. What was her name?
Ilona.
Yeah. At first, I thought they were like, "Oh, a loner." Like,
she's a loner.
Please come in.
Yeah, loner. It's a movie with. There's primarily four characters in it. One bellhop, Pierre. And one nosy detective.
Yeah.
Yeah, just one inspector guy. He's got one scene, and then he just kind of shows up throughout the movie until he dies.
He's following it.
Really, okay, like a nothing character. But he had an awesome scene. One awesome scene. This is what, like, this movie's a little frustrating to me because I always complain about vampire movies from the 70s just because I've watched a lot of them. You know, I just like, fuck, you know. This lady looks like a painting this fucking guy has. So like, oh, my long-lost love, blah, 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 blah. But what this fucking movie has is an awesome, awesome, awesome countess. She's awesome.
Yeah.
I fucking love her.
Played by
every scene.
Actress Delphine Seyrig, which, again, I'm not familiar with her, but apparently she was in some movie called The Last Days at Marienbad, which was an experimental art house kind of thing done in the 60s that took place in a hotel. So, again, the director goes, like, hey, we've got a movie in a hotel, Delphine Seyrig, and it's got vampires, John Carlin. Puts it together.
He just had slots to fill.
She slinks through every single scene in this movie.
You really can't look away. Like, yeah. You like watching her talk and interact with these other characters.
Well, she looks like softer than everybody. Everybody looks like they're in some 70s movie. The hair's a little like, you know, hair's natural, no product, whatever. You go to her and there's like a fucking soft glow over her and she's like this porcelain white almost. And you're like, everything she's wearing usually sparkles.
Red.
Yeah, she's in the what are we calling it? The
sequence gown.
Yeah, but it's like the disco ball. Yeah, dress at one point, which I thought was kind of really cool.
And she like barely like she like almost like whispers every line, but like you can hear it clear as day. You know? Yeah.
And she smiles like constantly, which I think is
awesome.
Part of her like the way that she, you know, even when she's telling you something that, you know, if she's not happy with what you did, there's a big smile on her face.
She's like working her vampire charm, like at every moment. Yeah. At every moment.
Yeah.
And I like how her scene starts off. Like I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they could have done it a lot better, but I do like the concept of the Countess arriving at the hotel and just the bellhop dude who's like, fuck, probably like in his 60s or something. He looks like it, right?
Yeah.
Pierre or whatever.
Yeah.
But he talks about how when he was a boy, there was a chick that looked exactly like her and said it was the Countess Batney or whatever. And she's like, I couldn't be. I'm that, you know. That's my name.
My mother, probably.
Yeah, perhaps. But I just like that. I thought that was cool. I like how startled he was. Like, they could have played that off. Like, almost not even, like, had him, like, had her, like, him talk to her right away about it, you know, but still.
Right,
still
just kept it as a, like,
yeah, just
intrigue.
Something
like, why
what
does
the
he look
fuck?
At her like that? What's going on? And then explain it later.
Well,
which they do
like,
plenty of, which they don't, like, there's plenty in this movie where they go to a scene and they leave a mystery and they don't fucking return to it for the whole movie. And it's just like, what was that about? We'll never know. It's on the cutting room floor or something like that.
Well, I like you were talking about earlier, the detective, because there is this guy, I mean, he's riding around on a tricycle or whatever.
Yeah, his bicycle.
Yeah, tricycle. Sorry, it is a bicycle. But he's, you know, he is aware that there are vampire murders or whatever over in Bruges, which is right next door to Ostend, apparently. And he suspects the Countess because, do you not remember when we met before? We never find out, like, where that
nothing.
Happened.
I mean,
she doesn't
I
remember
only
him.
It was when she was at that hotel again.
It couldn't have been 40 years ago.
Why?
That guy would have been so young.
Well, he said he was a kid.
Oh, yeah. No, Pierre said he was a kid.
Well, I thought he did, too. I thought he said something. I thought that dude said something about his mother.
Madame remember when we met before or something like that.
I thought that guy said something about, like, how him and his mother, blah, blah, blah. I can't remember.
Nowadays, there'd be a comic book that came out before this movie that would explain.
Yeah,
they should have fucking, like, at least one, because I thought that scene was awesome. The one thing that this movie has is music, right?
And oh,
they
yeah,
just know
yeah.
when to be like, dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Yeah, I love the
and
score
the guy's like,
this.
I know you. Dun, 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 dun. We met before. Dun, dun, dun. You know, yeah. I was like, yeah, holy fuck. Holy shit, he remembers her too.
But it's part of, like, I guess what I was looking at it as is, like, his character fills basically the vampire hunter, you know, like, because this movie tries to, and this is kind of why I like it, it tries to subvert your expectations of what you're going to get out of a vampire movie. It already knows that you've seen a fuckload of these movies because they were being produced all the time. time at this period of time. And so it's like, you know what? We're going to change this up so you can't see it coming. So he basically sets up the, I know the legend of, you know, or I know that there's a, you know, I'm coming after the vampire. I know there's a vampire. And then, you know, he's always like hanging around in the background of shots and, you know, spying on them. And then she kills him, apparently. Again, not the best executed scene in the world, but just by running him off the road. And it, so it's like, oh, I thought he was going to be the guy that in the end, you know, was going to come in and pound the stake into her heart, but he runs her off the road.
Yeah.
So you didn't see that coming. I think that was the intention of how they set his character up. That you just see these like left turns in the story and be like, huh. I didn't see that coming.
Tons of left turns. Well, because maybe, everything I expected from this movie never happened until maybe the end.
But, well, yeah, and with a left turn, you want it to pay off at some point in the movie where a lot of these left turns are dead ends.
No payoff.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's almost like if they would have just had a scene between the inspector and the bellhop about that whole situation, that would have at least given him one more scene where he's investigating this fucking vampire woman or whatever.
Yeah, it's very peripheral.
But I like how she, like, she shows up with her little, like, was she French? I just want to say she's French. Because she's like, wearing that little black dress. She has the little, like, bobby cut.
Oh, God, she's hot.
She's hot, but I don't like when she opens her mouth. Because that's when her mouth looks really wide. But that's a thing you gotta watch the movie to get. But, So the idea behind this is, I mean, like I said, this movie is very, like, keen at, like, trying to drag out a mystery where, you know, the Countess is just like, look at the couple.
Right.
Oh, they're so beautiful.
If you didn't know, it's the vaguest movie in the world.
Oh, it is fucking vague. You're like, because you got to wait. You got to, like, what does she want from
at
her?
At that point, I don't know about you guys, but I was thinking that the Countess is his mother. Because dude's talking about his mother.
Exactly. Right? That whole storyline goes nowhere.
I
think it does. I have an explanation.
Hold on. Can I explain this real quick?
My thought ends real quick. If nothing else, it does end real quick because I forgot what the fuck I was going to say.
About the mother?
Countess as the mother.
Okay, so as soon as they get married, the first scene is they're talking about how, like, oh, the mother won't like her, you know.
Because the guy, he's like he's an aristocrat or something.
Yeah.
Chilton Manor. He's from Chilton Manor. She's lowborn, basically.
Yeah.
And he marries her.
Oh, right. If nothing else, I thought he was part of a vampiric family, but was denying it, and he didn't want to tell her. Right. About it.
Because they totally make you believe that. They totally make you believe that, like, this fucking dude knows what's up.
Right.
Oh, I never got
that. What's going on.
Well, what do you mean? Because then he calls, he's like, I'll call my mother when we get to the hotel. Then he, like, walks up to the Pierre, the bellhop, and he's like, will you please phone my mother for some reason? Like, I can't do it myself or whatever. And hands him a message like, say there was no reply. It's like, okay. So obviously this guy's hiding some shit from his life. And he always has, like, really, like, fucking mean looks. Like, off into the, like, you know, the camera in the corner or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, but when I first saw this, I read that as, like, you know, because he had married this girl, mother just wasn't going to like it. And clearly, mother is a dominating presence in his life.
But then he puts, like, a fucking mean look on his face where you're like, that fucking guy. I mean, automatically it's like, oh, she's a sacrifice or something. Like,
but when you find out who mother is, I think it explains all that. Because
I want to get to that.
Mother's the dude on the phone that we never see again.
Just the dude on it. Well, you see
him. But mother does exist,
though. But he's like,
mother exists. When he finally makes the call, this is why I kind of like this movie, because it you know, it's going to be, there's vampires in it, you know, I mean, although they're vampires, where they basically try to get rid of that as much as possible.
Yeah, they do,
you know, so it's like revisionist vampirism. But I like the fact that, like, Stefan and Valerie have, like, this thing going on between them that is interesting for, like, the first half of the movie until the Countess becomes, like, the more dominant character, at least in the second half. I think the wind comes out of Stefan's sails once he actually does make the call to Dreaded Mother. And then you find out, like, it cuts to Chilton Manor, and in, like, this arboretum,
yep.
The right word,
yes.
There's this... I mean, what do you say? Flaming Queen.
He looked like a gay dude, vampire. Yeah,
it's a dude in pancake makeup, like, and he's this fey guy, like, you know, doing the, like...
He looked like the governor of Louisiana for, like, the second season of
True Blood.
He married
and had a kid to continue his legacy, but other than that, he's gay.
So, see, I don't even think that. I don't think that Stefan... I don't think that's his... "quote unquote actual mother." Right. I think that guy it was, you know, somehow like Stefan is the rent boy. You know, he's like some kind of like kept, you know, partner, and so it's like he goes. Yeah, that's what I get out of it.
See,
and then he's like, you know, on like this travel through Europe, and he's trying to like, you know, he meets Valerie, and so he's trying to like have like a normal relationship, and that's why he's fucked up like the entire way through this movie, because he's got like he has an affinity for death, like that's like over the top.
I don't know if it's death,
sadomasochism.
Exactly. I want to talk about that just for a second. Cause yeah, that's what I thought the gay vampire guy was talking about. I'm gonna keep.
Wait, just so we're clear, the guy is not a gay vampire.
But that is totally what you think. That is what you think when you're watching this. It's like that guy's a gay vampire.
Did you think that when you were watching it, Brent?
I thought that he was definitely a vampire.
He was like, so pale.
I thought that Stefan was. Yeah. Like part of affiliated with him in some way, because when he says, you know, like, why did you possibly think that could work, getting married to this girl? It's like, what is he talking about? Like, he's talking about like bringing a human into their, you know, their
bringing a girl into their love situation.
Well, but I at least thought they were talking about, because once you start getting all into the S&M shit, how you start to find out that like when they see a dead body who, you know, like was murdered by the vampire, drained of blood, or whatever. Valerie sees that it excites Stefan. And in a way, it kind of excites her, too. So you're kind of like, is this what he's hiding? The idea that he's like this crazy sadomasochist or whatever. And then I thought that the guy who's, you know, called mother or whatever, I thought maybe he was like, I don't know, the head of his S&M club. I don't know, just something, right?
There's no point in time do you think that Stefan is part of any sort of like gay shenanigans going on, because like the first frame of the film is him fucking this girl, right?
Yeah, apparently that was a movie first, that to open a movie with a sex scene.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, did not know that. He's established as a heterosexual character, and then you like, it's like, wait, what the? So he's doing what? Like, who's this mother? You know? Yeah. So then it's like, oh, that's why he doesn't want to call mother. Because that's like, you know, his sense of identity.
But why don't they go into that? Because they don't go into that. That's why it's so frustrating. Because it's anecdotal thing. Fuck?
Apparently, that was so. The scene with mother was shot independently of the rest of the movie, obviously. Yeah. And I can't remember if they didn't tell John Carlin, or you know, it's like it was an idea that came up to them. Like, huh? You know, it would be weird if like that was a man. So. When John Carlin was shooting the scene, I don't think that he knew that he was, you know, he just thought he was talking to like, you know, his overbearing mother.
Right.
It was when he saw the movie later, like, what the hell? But that was one of those moments in the movie, like, where you're like, what in the fuck? Like, and that's like, you can't forget this movie after you've seen that. It's like, this is the one where the guy's mother turns out to be a dude.
It's interesting. Yeah. That, I mean, even the
mother
fact
does exist.
Mother does exist. That is not. I don't think we're arguing that.
But no. But mother exists, like a female mother.
Well, she's never mentioned.
Right, but she does exist.
Are we?
Well, I mean, yeah, but that he must have been birthed by a female. Yes.
It feels like there's another half to the gay vampire sitting in the arboretum.
See, I don't know.
Are you sure mother actually exists? I thought he was being like tongue in cheek about it, though. Like, tell mother, because he knows that like the dude can't call her anything else.
Tell him that mother sends her regards.
Yeah, he knows. Like,
he's talking about himself.
That? Okay. Yeah, because he's like, are you there alone? You know, he hears that someone's with him. He hears the girl with him. So I think he was just being tongue in cheek. I don't think there is a mother.
He's fucked up. See, now if you go back and look at his behavior before that, I think it's like, so this is a guy who's like, you know,
he's trying to have normalness with her,
but he has like fucking crack running through like his psyche.
But do you think that even, I think like maybe even the director told him that he was a vampire in the film because like all of the reactions to, you know, like the blood and the, like.
That was.
It's reaction to the sadomasochism. Yeah, yeah. Like that is the thing. Yeah. That is his shit.
He like cut his neck shaving. He was like,
Yeah. Right. Now that we talk about it, don't look back on it, all makes fucking sense. Yeah. When he's the warped. Countess starts getting at him, like they're, what they're describing is all the shit that the Countess would do to the virgins, you know,
an explicit detail.
Yeah, explicit detail of the torture.
And he's like wetting his pants at that point.
And I thought she was getting off on it too. I thought she was.
Well, she was too. Well, yeah, because she's the Blood Countess. I like the way that in that scene.
No. I thought Valerie, the wife.
No, she was like, stop it, stop it.
But like I said, they kind of, because I mean, I'm fucking telling you, when they see that dead body, she's going to give him a hand job on the fucking bus. She is a little fucked up, too.
I think she is. No, I think
she knows what she realized because she talks about
it. She doesn't want to dive into it.
Once
you open that, like, fucking can of worms.
She realizes, she sees what he felt when he saw that dead body. Like, that triggered something in him. And she's like, I mean... At that point for her, that was like the tip of the iceberg. So she's like, you know, going into it. Like, well, yeah, you seem to like this. Let's see
where she, it goes. She wants to
but
make
she doesn't
his
know
new
how
happy.
Deep that runs. Yeah.
Well, they try it that night, don't they? That's when he hits her with the belt. Because he sees,
no,
like,
he
the
hits her after he calls mother.
And I don't think they're trying
well,
that.
Well, yeah,
I think
We're talking about when the Countess and when they're explaining the victim, the torture, then.
Oh.
Valerie's like, I thought she was getting into it for a minute, but then she like freaks out, like, we can't do this, and she like goes upstairs. But then when does he hit her with the belt? Because she does go through with the sadomasochistic. He fucking starts punching the fuck out of her, hits her with the belt.
It's directly following the conversation with mother, because after the scene where you're talking about where it was
Right after mother?
Yeah, because the Countess and Stefan have their moment. Valerie leaves, goes upstairs. When he follows her up and the Countess comes up, she's like, I don't want anything from you. Like, just get out of here. You're sick. And so he's like, well, maybe tomorrow, madam, you know. And so, and then that night, then she's like, you know, tomorrow, you know, when are you leaving or whatever? And he's like, I'll call, you know, tomorrow morning, I'll call mother. And then it cuts to the morning, she calls mother. And then after that,
he stands
is
up
when,
and you see him make
yeah,
the
he
fist.
Makes a fist and he's like, get over here, and starts beating her with a belt. So it's like, whoa, what? So he beats his wife.
Yeah, but they were, trying a sexual thing. It wasn't beating the wife. They were trying something sexual. Because that's when she leaves in the
morning.
I don't
think she knew at that point.
No,
oh, is that the one where she, like, he flips away from her and the Countess and Ilona are out the window looking at them? Because there's one time when,
that
like...
That was later.
That was no, that was separate. Oh, okay. Because, okay, when she... Because she wakes up in the morning, she's got the fucking belt welts all over her, right? She gets dressed, she fucking leaves. She's going to get a train and get the fuck out of there. The Countess is like, well, I can't have this. I got to, you know, she's like my girl or whatever the
my
Countess is interested in for. Yeah, we don't know that yet. That's the mystery of the movie. But, so she goes after, and then Valerie says that she wanted to try it, but it feels demeaning, you know? So she knew that they were having that was a sexual act. He wasn't beating her. She knew it was a sexual act. She was just trying it because she did see how even she was turned on by the dead body. What?
I think she was, I think Valerie is turned on by his aggressive dominance of her. Somehow that... Like, satisfied, because that's basically the Countess then subverts that, makes Stefan weak by catching him
in the
a
bus,
setup, and then she asserts herself and becomes that dominant character in Valerie.
But in the bus, right away, she's like, you got excited when you saw the dead body. He's like, and you get excited by telling me that you know, you know? I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, she's not fucking innocent.
No,
she's creeping into the world of sadomasochism or whatever.
And then she finds out she doesn't like it.
So now that we've figured on the weird gay Stefan fucking thing, let's look at the other aspect of this whole fucking movie. Like, the whole point of this goddamn movie is
tree that everybody keeps walking through?
No, the Countess keeps referring to what men are, you know? Men are these vicious things, and women have love with each other, and, like, I mean, it's actually really
she's
weird.
She's a predatory lesbian vampire. I mean, that's what you would say to your.
Which would
you
have been a better title for this movie. Predatory lesbian
vampire. You know, she's trying to break the relationship between Stefan and Valerie so she can have Valerie all to herself, or apparently replacing Ilona, who is depressed and wants out of this, eternal relationship with the Countess. So she has Ilona go sleep with Stefan. She goes to console Valerie, and then, like, look, I'll show you what men are like, and takes her back, and, you know, they're...
Which I don't think she counted on the whole accident, the right?
Dead.
Yeah, I think Valerie was supposed to walk in and Stefan and Ilona in bed.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Unfortunately, apparently vampires in this movie can't go into running water.
I don't think she's a vampire.
Well, whatever.
She is definitely afflicted with evil.
Well, there's running water when it's raining out, and like Ilona's going to leave. I'm leaving you, and she's like, "You don't be ridiculous. Like, you can't go outside."
Running water is like one of my favorite, like old timey, like anti evil recipes that they don't use in movies anymore. You know, it was supposed to be like they can't cross a running stream. That's why Sleepy Hollow can't cross the bridge. Mm-hmm. You know, so I like that they use that in this, even though they use it in a shower.
Yeah.
Which, she's a stupid vampire anyway for staring at him while he's taking a shower completely naked. It's like, well, what do you want, woman?
Yeah. So he's like, get in the shower with me, and pulls her in. She's like, no. And then some really awkwardly staged stuff.
A comedy of errors happens.
Yeah. Which ends up with her falling on a straight razor, shaving razor.
It's like sitting straight up.
She grabs it. For like 10 minutes and yells.
Oh, I can't let it go. No,
she can't. That's the one thing she grabbed onto was the straight razor.
And that's almost a foreshadowing to a later death scene that is like that. If that's ridiculous, this is tops that with the bowl, the crystal bowl.
Oh, yeah. The crystal bowl is crazy.
We'll get there.
Was that even a death scene? I don't know.
Well, I think so.
But I can see this comedy verse thing happening because like they're all slippery. They've just been in the bath. There's tile on the floor.
Yeah, it was just very weird. But like how do you set a straight razor sitting straight up?
The losing your balance, not being able to grab anything on the shelf except for the straight razor.
Oh, nail polish, toothpaste.
As if it were electrified, not being able to let go. And then
she turns the faucet on, then grabs her. She grabs the electric razor, then turns the faucet on. It's just this like
the comedy is in the wide shot of that scene.
That's what I'm saying.
Because it's all in close ups, but if you saw the wide shot of that scene, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then he's like, "Oh, I'll help you." And he like
slams her into the wall, he steps on the floor, and then slides across the tile for 10 minutes.
He should have stepped on a fucking bar of soap. That would have like made it priceless. Like, no problem, I'll help.
And then it like hits the wall 5 times, knocks the straight razor on the floor,
mouth, gulps it down, it starts burping up.
She
bubbles.
She dies, but with bubbles coming out.
Yeah.
There you go. The remake of this scene. What are we doing?
So they burst in. It's like, I like how, I mean, automatically, it's crazy because automatically, it's so weird. Because I like how Valerie, she's able to kind of stay clear. I mean, she thinks this lady's creepy. She doesn't like, she can see how this lady, like, you want to fuck my husband. She sees that clearly, right? That's why she's like, you disgust me.
She was saying that because I think at that the moment when she says, because, you know, the Countess and Valerie go off and spend some time together. And I think at some point, like, the Countess bends over and kisses
her hand.
And at that moment, the way I read it is at that moment, you know, Valerie realizes that the Countess, you know, has, like, a lesbian attraction to her. So you disgust me. And I think it's, like, coupled with the fact that she's, like, obviously into, you know, talking about at least or entertaining, you know, like these ideas of ghoulish, you know, murders and stuff. Oh, fascinating, but, you know, ghoulish, but fascinating.
There seems to be within the seduction, depending on like when Valerie's right around the Countess, she's like totally like, you know, putty in her hands. But like the farther away she gets from her, she'll start going back to Stefan and, you know, she'll start to forget all that, you know, and like.
Well, that really kicks in after, you know, it's like, so, I mean, you know, from Valerie's point of view, she's just walked in, found out, that her, you know, her husband of 3 days, right, is now cheating with her.
Yeah.
That he killed, you know, he has this thing about, you know, murder, blood, and, he killed this girl.
Did we ever see where the straight razor actually went in? Because
I think it went in her back. She was holding it, and she put her hand down to stop herself from falling, and then he falls on her, and it shoves it into her back.
Right. Yeah. He apparently passed out for a minute.
Yeah. You get that nice shot of him. What have I done? But that's interesting, too, I guess, the way that Stefan responds to that is, you know, I guess from what we had seen of him set up to that, I expected something more. It. Yeah, but he's, like, in shock. Yeah, he just kind of goes and you know, can't believe what he's done. And the Countess, like, immediately takes charge and is, like, just ordering, you know, Valerie around, like, here's what we're going to do. You're going to go do this and get the towels.
She, like, fucking, like, shoves her head down. Yeah, it was really weird. That's what
she becomes,
like,
Stefan, basically, in that moment. She becomes this, like, dominant, physically aggressive, you know, just ordering this other girl around.
But I love that shot.
Well, I just thought it was weird how Valerie became so fucking submissive all of a sudden.
Well, at that point, it was after she, at that point,
no, it wasn't after the bite. It was, that was before the bite.
I take that as maybe shock. She becomes more, like, trance-like after the bite.
I mean, for some,
under a spell at some point.
It's either side with, you know, the Countess or side with Stefan, who has, you know, basically just shattered her whole idea of their future and everything.
Yeah.
Like, but it's that point she goes with
Yeah. It's shot in such a great way, though, because in the foreground, half the frame is Stefan sitting on the edge of the bed, and he's, you know, just in shock of what has just happened. And then in the other half of the frame, you're down this long hallway into the bathroom, and you can just see this, you know, the Countess ordering her around, telling her what to do, and there's a lot of action going on.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a really cool shot.
Indeed.
Well, I think the hotel itself is, like, you know, like, well, a character in this movie.
I was going to ask you, was that the actual, I mean, obviously the exterior and the interior were not the same.
I'm not entirely sure. No, it's not a set. It's an actual hotel, because on the Blu-ray, they actually, like, take a walking tour of hotel again.
Yeah,
is Pierre still there?
Did they use it during, like, the down season? Because, I mean, there is...
Yeah. But that's just weird. That's, like, a weird idea, right? Like, the off-season or winter in Ostend is, like, there's nobody anywhere.
Nothing. Nothing there.
No way.
They have these huge wide shots of the hotel, and there is nothing.
Is that one of those places where, well, don't, like, Germans get, like, they get, like, 3 months vacation from their government?
Yeah.
Everybody.
They take them in the summers, and they go to Spain.
Everybody.
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
funny, though, is I heard that that's actually a way to kind of cover up that there's not enough jobs for everybody, you know? Yeah. That way everybody gets 3 months off. It's like a break of labor, you know?
But are they paid?
Yeah, it's paid.
It's paid. But it's all, I'm sure it's taxpayers. Yeah.
They
right?
have the motto of
taxpayers,
work to live, not yourself. Live to work. It's right. the inversion, yeah. I guess, here. But
it's still, I try it.
Their GDP, like, doesn't grow at all. Compared to ours,
sure,
it was like double digits to theirs.
There's a little,
like,
history.
Yeah.
A little reality in our...
But it's always,
but that's why it was empty, I imagine.
Well, there's a thing that, you know, I still haven't narrowed in on what it means, but it's a symbol that's clearly in the movie and shows up multiple times where, you know, characters are always looking out the window, and way in the distance, there's this one cruise ship going by.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is that a wistfulness for something? Or is, like, that's where the people are? Or, like,
well,
you know, we're
thinking about leaving, right?
We're so disconnected from... Yeah, but I mean, like, the moment they get there, I think they look out and there's this one... You know, because you're in a situation where there's no one. It's basically them and the bellboy. And there's... I mean, you don't see anybody else in this town. I mean, there's no sign of life anywhere. But out there, on the horizon, there's a cruise ship.
That's when we need to cut away to the cruise ship with people going, oi! We've been here for 5 fucking days. When are we leaving?
There's always that cruise ship. Maybe it's a ferry taking people from places that I don't know.
That's what I thought, because she was getting ready to just leave when after Valerie got, like, beat or whatever, her little
I don't know, though. I mean, it could,
sadomasochistic thing. I mean, she was ready to leave and get on the boat, right?
It's almost like you're under this, you know, vampire spell when you're at the hotel, and, like, nothing, like, there could actually be people around. I don't know, but, like, you don't see anything else. No, I don't think there is people there. I mean, I think it's like, it's like some sort of, like, alter reality or alter dimension.
You're getting deep, dude.
And then I always
deep.
Do. But then like Colin say, you know, when they look out, it's like you're looking out to reality or to humanity. I don't know, something.
That, I think it's, yeah, I can see that. It's getting away from solitude or whatever. It's almost like, the Overlook
there are
Hotel,
other, yeah,
right?
There are other people.
Yeah,
you're like stuck there for sure.
Well, another thing that struck me about this movie, and maybe it's just the time, but, like, seeing, like, these European movies, I just watched Tombs of the Blind Dead not too long ago, and that's a movie that takes place in Spain, but it's basically these people are, like, vacationing somewhere, because everybody in Europe is vacationing all the time in these movies. I mean, this is like the staple. Somebody's on vacation. They get on a train. They just decide, we're going to get off here. And, well, how long are you going to stay? I don't know. Eventually, we're going to go somewhere else.
You got time to adventure.
Yeah, because, like, in my mind, there's always, like, you know, you got to know, you know, like, well, we got to be here by X time if we're going to take advantage of this. But in all of these movies, it's just kind of like lollygagging.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, because they are all connected, you know, you can live.
Yeah, you got to take a train.
You know, you can live in France and, like, go to Romania, you know, you can...
And it always seems like money is not an issue.
Yeah.
Like, right? Spare Fuck no these expense. People. Yeah.
Yeah, because even in that other movie, you know, again, that I was watching, it was
probably the, we're as big as consumers as we are now. You know?
Wow. I don't know. They got the fashions and stuff.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
They still have, like...
didn't have, like, movies on video. I mean, you had to go to a theater to go. I mean, people went out to do shit. They lived their life back in the day.
Well, maybe because travel was cheap. If you get to, like, hop on a train ticket and just be like, we'll get there whenever. You know, I don't know.
Back then, I would assume.
Yeah, because these are, like, we're talking about, like, early to mid-70s. Yeah.
Technology.
All right, so
okay,
but then so, you get to learn these exciting things about you know, European vacations.
Yeah, you're like, you know so much
in the '70s
about European vacations.
Feast on.
I've seen the movie.
I did like that. I knew where Bruges was before I saw In Bruges. I was like, in Bruges. I've heard of Bruges. That's where that movie Daughters of Darkness takes. Bruges.
Here in Bruges.
Bruges.
On a job. Here in Bruges.
So,
it's a fairy tale, please.
I'm not mentioning the idea that, like, you know, I understand that the Countess is separating her from, but as you were talking about how the director, like, oh, what if this guy's gay, whatever, I'm telling you, I think that was like a conscious choice to be like, man, yeah, you know, men, oh, fucking men, you know, they do, I'm not saying that, like, that's his point, but I'm just saying, because, I mean, you could see where the movie, totally goes that direction, where she's just constantly drilling on men around Valerie. She's just kind of getting under her skin about what role men play in the world, not just Steven or Stefan or whatever, but they're about war.
But it also, has the effect of, like, the Countess influence, you know, and because she's drawing Valerie away, encourages Stefan to become more aggressively masculine, as far as, like, I am a man and she is my woman and she is going to do what I say. And the Countess is like, you know, if, you know, would she actually do that? You know,
if you let her go.
Yeah.
Would she still be here?
Yeah, yeah. She's always asking these questions. So that's actually kind of interesting, because I'm just thinking about this now. like he does assert, like, his masculine, if he's in some gay relationship, you know, like,
oh,
on the side.
Take her. Oh, no.
Yeah, because I didn't even think about that before. That
he's a power bottom.
Jesus Christ.
He's becoming more, you know, like, you know, dominant.
He is until he kills Alona.
Yeah, but he makes that speech about, like, at the end, where he's like, she's coming with me, and, like, you're not standing in the way, and I'm a man, and she's the woman, and she's coming. You know, I mean, that's how he's setting up.
Yeah, he's like,
know,
I'm a man. You are a woman. Woman and woman do not belong to him. Yeah, that is what he's saying.
But yeah, but then now that you're thinking about it, it's like, but his situation is that fucked up, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, so, yeah.
Maybe he just needed that to see it. I don't know.
And then what does it get him?
It's like, well, that's what I'm saying. That's what he sounds like. He's like, what? Look what this, like, bisexual lifestyle's led us to. Let us, as a man and a woman, leave this hotel. You know?
Yeah. Well, by that point, it's too late, and Valerie has fallen under the spell.
Yeah.
The blood.
Well, I like how this movie doesn't show bites and all that shit like that. I thought that was cool. Yeah, it doesn't go for those.
Right. Anything you expect from a vampire movie. Again, it's you know what it is.
Yeah.
But it just keeps it in kind of the shadows, vagueness off to the side.
I kind of wanted some fangs.
I wanted something. There's shots in this movie of people's mouths, and you're like, you're waiting for it.
Yeah.
Like, whether the movie at this time knows that you're waiting for it, I don't know. And just decides to not play to what you're expecting.
Because this is after decades and decades of the Hammer vampire. Right. I mean, it was, you know, and even at that time, like, the lesbian vampire phenomenon. I mean, if you go and look back, there's at least 20 lesbian vampire movies made in, like, again, it's all, like, French French, Spanish.
We will chronicle them all.
Well, you've seen The Vampire Lovers. Have we seen, yeah, all yeah. seen The Vampire Lovers? I mean, that's 73.
I'm not. I don't like vampires.
Oh, man.
No. I have a copy of it on my shelf. Sure, compliments. The trailer.
There you go. Yeah.
It's all in here.
Somewhere.
The Vampire Lovers. Well, most of the lesbian vampire movies that came out were all derivations of the story Carmilla. Anyone?
Yeah, she was the first vampire. Well, aside, there was Dracula, then Carmilla, then there was Varney the Vampire.
Yeah, I think Varney was even first. But as far as like,
I thought Carmilla was before Varney. I could be wrong, but
so when does your book on lesbian vampires come out?
See, there you go. You got to make a film, a lesbian vampire movie, because they don't make them anymore. They did make Lesbian Vampire Killers, a movie that was retitled Vampire Killers when it came out here in the States like 3 years ago. And I'm like,
because the lesbian was going to throw
law. Well, yeah, apparently not.
It's funny though.
That was like decrease sales of those tickets.
Yeah.
The reason I hate lesbian vampire movies is because they work on me, right? Because to me, a vampire is actually a representation of the foreigner, right? He's the exotic foreigner. Like, you know, you're just a dude with your woman, this fucking fancy guy that comes in and he talks like these. And he, like, you know, he has these weird ways about him. You know, she gets attracted to the foreigner, right? That's what the symbolism of a
Dracula, at least.
It's Dracula. It's Fright Night.
So that's why lesbian movies work the same way on me, because it's like a fucking woman knows a woman's body way more than you will ever know a woman's body. So when she's able to like take your woman, it's like, hey, she'll know more about a woman than you will ever know about being a woman. That's a fucking threat. Well, to our fucking manhood.
But that's what's interesting. Like then.
I don't like those movies.
The lesbian vampire movie they're made for men, not women, because it's exploiting an insecurity that men have.
But for some reason, we're also attracted to, right? We're attracted to that. There's two beautiful things on screen.
Two beautiful women naked and making out.
Yeah, where was that?
But at the same time...
what did you promise me?
I appreciate how tasteful it is.
Again, that's why I like the movie, because it subverts your expectations.
It really does. At every turn, it really does.
It's a really sexy movie.
This even fangs
but
in
it's
the
not
title.
Like it's not pornographic. It's sexy, but not pornographic. Yes. I like how they handle it in this movie.
It is.
I'm always railing on sexuality
because
cinema.
Everything that I've. Everything that's come from you, not to just pin this on you, but...
You fucking pervert.
You fucking... But, I mean, but my experience is with this is there's a shit ton more nudity, and, you know, it is lesbian vampires. And like you said, it does subvert your expectations at every turn. Like, there was nothing what I expected was in this movie.
Yeah.
But, again, I appreciate it. Like, I liked it.
Yeah, well, you just wanted more naked women like groping each other. Yeah, I mean, actually, you know, it was after that I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know, because we know that Ilona and the Countess are in a relationship, and we see Ilona naked in the Countess's presence, but we never actually see them having sex.
But see, the thing is, implied.
Because maybe it's not sexual. It's a way of somebody saying she's.
It's the slave thing.
No, it's not even the slave thing. She's, what's the fucking word I'm looking for? She's exposed to her. She's at her weakest to her. Right. She's naked.
She's watching this movie.
Same thing with when Valerie gets bitten. She's naked. She's exposed. She's at her most fragile.
Watching this movie, I never got the lesbian vibe.
What? Really?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't, because I don't think this portrays them as technically being lesbians. I get the whole she's the Countess, she's the master, and she has her slave. The lesbian thing like never came into it for me. Like
really?
It really didn't. Like because they
like
never,
come over here, Ilona.
Yeah, she's like
jealous.
The vampire charm, right?
It is. I imagine it more as the attention is paid to the slave and everything, but I don't imagine it as a sexual relationship. That never came across to me.
Okay, I'm sorry. Once again, the fucking the quote unquote mother, that guy. When the servant took the phone to that guy, he pet his head.
Well,
he was a gay vampire.
What? I get gay. Where's the vampire?
He pet his head. I don't know. The same thing. disturbing. Like you said, Ilona, whatever the fuck her name is. Ilona? I don't know. She laid her head on the lap. It's just what I'm getting.
The vampire's not necessarily there, but the gays.
I'll tell you. Well, I think it was there to trick you. Like I said, I think you were supposed to think he was part of some vampire, like...
I mean, that was my
thing or something like that.
That was my thought at the beginning.
I swear. I mean, I don't necessarily want to go back to it, but I just wanted to reiterate this. Like, right. He pet his fucking servant's head.
Well, now hold on. If Stefan wanted out of this whole, you know, masochistic dealio.
I don't think he wants to.
Yeah, because, well, his money, his money and his title and all that comes from that.
But,
Lord Chilton, or
the fact but I mean, he went out and got a wife, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, like, he may have come across. I mean, I imagine I put a backstory into this where there's an argument between him and the father, mother, as we were. That there was an argument, and like he refuses that whole lifestyle and everything.
But was that a lie to her?
I'm gonna go out on my own,
right?
And figure this out, and I want something different. But he really, deep down, he really doesn't.
But like, at some point,
off is.
Okay, well, yeah, but I mean, in more realistic terms, like, at some point, is he dependent on this guy? Because, like you said, that's where he gets his money and his title.
I mean, that's why he goes back to it.
Yeah.
I mean, cause otherwise he would just stay away and there wouldn't be a thing about it, but he goes back to it, so he has to be dependent.
And like you say, why not call your real mother?
Actually, that's kind of interesting, because, I mean, then now I'm looking at the whole movie as a bunch of, you know... not even codependent. Well, I guess it is kind of codependent relationships where you have, like, everyone's dependent on, you know, and slave to the person who, you know, dominates their world or whatever, you know.
Well, because in every relationship, there's a dominant. Everyone.
Right. And
there's people in a relationship. One of those people loves the other one way more than the other person loves the other one. That's just a fact.
There's two refusals in this. Like, there's Stefan refusing the refusal of his mother-father figure, and there's Ilona refusing the Countess.
Yep.
Like, you get that in both.
And there's the power struggle then between Stefan and the Countess over who has, you know, dominance over Valerie. This is pretty good.
I wish the movie was this good.
Deep.
I think the movie is this good.
It's good.
Right. I know. My standard go-to is to think that movies made like this back in the day aren't as smart as... Like, I don't want to give them any credit. I really don't. Like, I don't want to think that this is what they were planning the entire time making the movie. But I'm finding out more and more, like, stuff like this, like, it has to be. It can't be coincidence.
Right, yeah.
Like, this is the message they're trying to get across.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Before watching all this stuff, it was just like, nah, they just made a movie, and this is what we got, and this is the message we're putting in afterwards. I'm finding out later.
There's a lot of thought. Even the way that this movie is shot and put together, I'm like, I'm actually, you know, I mean, I've seen it more than you guys have, so I'm, like, picking up on stuff where I'm like, wow, that's actually, like, really well put together. There's a scene where Stefan and Valerie are in Bruges on a boat going down the canal.
Yeah.
And the camera is following them from the bank, and then it, like, tilts up as it goes over the bridge, and you see the bicycle guy.
The inspector.
Cha-ching! He goes over. Then the camera pans back down and reveals the girls. Stefan and Valerie. And then the police car comes by. And then there's that scene where you actually see, because I was watching, because I knew that the inspector is going to be like a character in
Inspector.
This. But they're following his action too, that you don't even notice.
Yeah.
They are like following his action, riding the bike in and coming up to the thing. And I'm like, huh, they knew what they were doing. I mean, this wasn't an accident. There was like, this was all planned and edited in a way that you got this guy coming in at the same time that they do into that, that scene.
Yeah. Replayability, like, I want to see this movie again.
Plus, I like those little artistic, like, everything fades to red. It's a vampire movie, so instead of fading to black, it fades to red.
That was cool.
And the wardrobes in this, the use of red in the wardrobes is great.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
And I think this movie could be edited, for sure.
I agree.
Like, this movie could be 88 minutes. This is 102, said?
Oh, this movie
she dresses in white to make herself almost, like, less threatening when he goes out to meet her at the train station.
Well, she's wearing white. Same thing, like, Valerie puts white on to fucking go, oh, I'm innocent. I'm not this dirty girl that I was in that room, you know?
She's trying to draw her in, so she's going in a less.
I just love her voice. She's just always like, where did the Valerie go? You know, she's just so soft. Like, how did the guy fucking way over there hear her? I like to see a vampire run. That's why I like. I love this vampire. She's awesome in this movie. She's fucking awesome.
The way she'll throw herself at a doorway and just kind of drape herself.
Yeah, all very dramatic.
Yeah.
Like,
nobody's watching.
Well, I want to say, like, in some of the reviews that I read, they compare her to, like, was she doing, like, a Marlena Dietrich impression? But I am not familiar with any of...
What?
I know that Madonna has... I mean, I know who Marlena Dietrich is. I mean, I could pick her out of a lineup. Yeah, I mean, I've seen pictures.
Who is
but
she?
But she's Hollywood or Hollywood.
She's an actress.
She's an actress from like the 30s or 40s
or anything. Star with
enough that I know. I know.
Like she was like one of these people who
audiences a clue.
Well, no, because I can't off the top of my head remember the films that she's in. But she's like somebody that is always referred to as being like the epitome of Hollywood glamour or style.
Back in that day,
she was like, ooh, you know, she's really beautiful and, you know, can wear one of them big ass hats and very nice.
Big ass hat.
Or the veil or whatever, you know, so that's why I think.
The disco ball.
But I don't know if, you know, I've heard the comparisons with Delphine Seyrig's performance in this and Marlena Dietrich, but I can't vouch for that myself.
Well, I mean, their use of the Vaseline filter, star filter, whatever you want to call it, like specifically on her, is definitely a throwback to the 20s. It's awesome. 30s for sure. It's got to be.
I mean, look at as soon as she steps out of her car. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. She is like in a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
When she's on screen, it is beautiful looking.
Yeah.
And then, like, it cuts and it's like, oh, shit, it's the 70s.
And she's got this veil on. Yeah, I mean, it's very mysterious. You're looking at her, but you can't see her.
You can see a little glint in her eye. Oh, fuck. That was an awesome shot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you say awesome
sock? I said that was an awesome sock.
Awesome
sauce. And then I corrected myself by saying shot. That was awesome sauce. I do say awesome.
Yeah.
Sauce.
So I mean, I think it's low budget awesome to be sure. Yeah. You know, made in 1971, and probably not made by people who were. You know, I mean, I'm saying that they are craftsmen and they do know how to make films, but they're maybe not terribly proficient at it.
There wasn't that, like, outside lighting thing.
Yeah.
they have that back.
That day for night.
Yeah.
That was their very blue outdoor.
So I think it's very well made from that point of view, you know? Like, these aren't, like, maybe, you know, guys who do this every single day making this movie, you know, like studio craftsmen, you know?
But probably then I think porno directors.
Probably
had the red light
art films.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They sure are.
Well, yeah. I mean, they don't have like action sequences down.
No. That's where he stumbles. I think is in the action. The two action scenes.
We'll cut it together.
All right. Well, what's your second? Action scene.
Now that we're here, The second action scene is there's like this.
What is?
It's like a almost like a crystal.
Oh God! Yeah.
Dome that you would put over a plate. You know, like when you're presenting food.
Yes.
Well, we would set up this scene though.
It's
what's
like
happening?
What the fuck is happening? This movie has four endings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's got too many.
Oh, yeah. It goes on forever.
Yeah.
You're always like, oh my God, it's gonna end. Oh no.
Again,
she's lighting candles. They're gonna talk about something.
You're saying that because like they had an opportunity once. Because basically, you're like, at some point, the Countess is going to get her hooks into Valerie, and Valerie's going to go with the Countess.
Or
and
Steven's going to fucking, like, retch her from the Countess, and they're going to, like, stab her in the heart.
It's a horror movie,
so
it's going to turn out badly for Stefan.
Right, and there's opportunities to end it at certain
points. Right, that's, I think, where you're saying, like, there should be, like, this is where it should kind of close, because they're trying to get rid of
Alona's body. Burying Alona. That's the logical
ending. He goes in, they bury him, and...
Yeah,
the inspector's looking right at him. He's like, "I see you burying the body."
Yeah,
and then they do nothing.
They
run
him off the road.
But why? I'm going to turn around now. Like,
yeah,
he's pedaling
back to town.
But wouldn't he have a gun?
He should have a car.
Get a car.
You're on a bike. Yeah, I know you're retired, but get a bike or get a car.
It's Europe.
It's
Europe. The bike thing fits.
Yeah. So she runs him off the road, and he never gets to report it.
He's still alive somewhere.
But you can still bury Stefan with Alona's body.
Maybe she wanted Stefan to be okay with it. Maybe she wanted like a threesome vampire or something.
I don't know what happens there.
Like they dig a hole, they put Alona in it, or they put Stefan's digging the hole, they throw Alona on top of him. The place caves in on him, and so his hand reaches up, you know, like in a horror movie. Again, this is another image from Valerie, you know, and the Countess is basically just kind of standing there. It's Valerie, who at this point is not 100% under the Countess's sway, because she hasn't been bitten yet. That happens when they get back to the hotel. So Valerie is trying to get Stefan out. So I think the Countess was kind of like, God damn it, there was our perfect... No, come away. Come away. You could have just left him. We could have got rid of them both and been out the door.
As a writer-director, you could have been like, okay, we'll just, you know, we'll speed this up.
Right, exactly.
We'll take care of it right here.
But so you think the Countess, in the story of the movie, the Countess keeps Stefan around to...
In the story.
To keep, the only reason he's still there is when the story's going on.
But here's the thing. I mean, if you stop before you get to that point where she keeps him around, he gets buried. They're up on the hill in the, you know, like the silhouetted moonlight, and
she got the cape. She does
the fucking cape.
I love her cape.
You cut to black right there, and I'm going to see Daughters of Darkness Part 2.
Fade to Red.
Fade to Red.
Like,
yeah.
There are opportunities where, like, that can happen.
Yeah, dude. That movie ended a few times. 88 minutes. I could edit this movie down to 88 minutes, and it would still be a great fucking movie.
He's right. It could be. And they get to an ending that kind of...
I kind of like...
Wait. Before we get there, we have to hear about the crystal bowl.
Oh, yeah.
So hold on to...
How the fuck did we even get off of that?
Totally forget my thought on the ending.
The ending.
Okay, well... So you set it up, Colin, because you know it.
Well, they get back to the hotel. Valerie falls under the sway of the Countess, and she invites Stefan over for dinner because he's like, fuck it, I'm leaving. I'm taking this woman with me. I'm a man. And they get into this struggle that ends badly for Stefan, but in a almost comical, I mean, it's
weird,
not,
comical way.
It's not entirely staged well.
And it's not even, doesn't even
or
make
thought
sense.
Out as to why.
It's almost like,
can you suffocate somebody with a crystal bowl?
You can't.
There's no way.
So, I mean, how does this happen again? How does the food follow?
Okay,
I can't remember.
I got this. The Countess, she does a hip check to the, like, it's the room service tray, like the cart.
Oh, yeah, and her vampire power, like, pushes it.
It slowly rolls over, then falls over.
Special effects.
Yeah. But then, like, you see, like, lobster and all this food fall, and, like, this.
What a waste.
This crystal topper to the plate, whatever. And you're like wondering, what is she doing with this, right? What's the plan here?
It's all improvised.
She wanted Valerie to kiss him, whatever. He wouldn't have it.
And then Stefan's like, she's coming with me.
He starts hitting her.
Yes.
That's right. She starts hitting the fuck out of Valerie.
She's like, Elizabeth. So Elizabeth jumps in there to protect
her new girlfriend.
She gets knocked to the window, stumbles 20 feet.
Sean's stumbling right now.
20 feet.
20 feet away.
20 feet.
Come back.
Stumbles 20 feet to the window and then goes back and pushes the food cart over to stop what's going on.
Yeah, but then she picks up the crystal bowl and you're like, well, she's going to fucking brain him.
Right. Yeah. You would think.
Because it's got like a point on the top of it.
Plus it's a fucking crystal topper.
Yeah,
like,
it looks thick.
Yeah, yeah.
Thick and heavy.
But no.
Nope.
She decides to try and smother him.
I'm gonna put this over your face somehow.
Very, very gently over.
Yeah, his like
face.
Okay, where's her vampire fucking powers then?
She has no vampire powers.
Well,
she's crazy.
Know,
she's never,
a food cart.
She's never shown
like,
vampire powers
you
in the whole
up.
Movie. But so then both Valerie and the Countess are leaning on this thing trying to smother.
Yeah,
because
Valerie wants to fucking kill her husband. That's so weird.
Well, why
wouldn't they do that? Fucking two scenes before.
Well,
she didn't get bit. She should have got bit before that.
Yeah, you're right.
That's why. God damn it.
But the staging of this is kind of funny because
they're both got a hand on it.
And the crystal, you hear it,
oh, what
and
the
it
fuck?
Cracks, falls
so it's supposed
open.
To crack on his face? Is that what they pushed it down so hard it cracks on his face? We could have used like a face smush on the ball or something. Like
I mean, over and the point goes into his
I thought it was gonna crack and like you'd see the like blood like fill the inside of the
they would just crush him.
But no, it breaks the thing in half and the two sides tumble down to his arms and slit his wrists.
On their own accord. Like nobody's
very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're like blood, blood, blood.
I actually like this. As soon as you see blood, if you're a vampire, as soon as you see blood, you go, blood, blood, blood.
That's a good direction to take it. That's almost a zombie version.
It's like a warning.
Oh, yeah. When they see blood, they lose all control.
I like that.
And they're just like, blood.
I'm writing that down for later.
No, yeah. Well, because who did that? Did somebody do that? Where that? Well, not the blood. But somebody did that where when they see blood they're just like, like get away from me, I can't even look at it, I'm gonna monster out.
I thought that's what was going on when he cut himself, when Stefan cut himself with the razor. I thought he saw the blood and became like retard vampire.
Right, early on in the movie that's what
opposite vampire.
Yeah. I saw blood.
But yeah, that was a very weird choice to do the ball rolling down. Well,
that's what I'm like. What are they doing? Are they trying to like crucify him? Is that like there's some kind of like? But I'm like, what is it? Stefan was crucified.
It's like they didn't want fangs, but they didn't want to show him cut it. They didn't want to. It's like they still wanted.
Martin
the
was able to do that without no fangs.
I guess so. But how would have they done it? Just with a knife or something? They should have fucking did it earlier.
It should have just been the facial, just.
Something.
They should have
even done the face thing. They should have like pushed him through the window.
Vampires drinking your blood.
If they would have pushed him through the window, it would have been better. Just pushed him through the fucking window. He could have been all cut up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But they have to take him out and dispose of his body.
Yeah,
and then
dispose
that
the body.
Takes them past the time when they should have be
it
back.
It takes us past the running time. That
Which is stupid because no one's around anyway. They could have waited another day. They're like, we're cutting a little close. We might as well dispose of the body tomorrow night. Yeah, there's fucking 50 rooms in here. Pierre's not going to fucking come in.
You're right. Yeah, is he cleaning everybody?
He's moving the fucking tree.
Yeah, he's just moving the tree
he's
around.
He's just way into this movie.
But, I'm telling you, that's some tree. Fucking weird symbolism. I don't know.
What about the disturbance, though, from the fight in the hotel room? He's going to come check that out, right?
He didn't hear it.
How big is that hotel room?
Would you hear that?
That's true. He's ironing at this point.
Yeah, something.
He's got porn down there.
They're probably watching soccer or football, whatever you call it.
And then this poor countess, who's been around for hundreds of years, dies in an auto accident.
Car accident.
Aren't we there?
We're not there.
So where are you at?
We're back.
Okay.
And then we got to go forward.
What?
So wait, all right, the body, they dump the body over the balcony. And then they go and bury it.
Yeah.
And at that point, they drive
away.
They
throw it in water.
They throw it in, like, some pond somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Throw it in water. Which you could tell it was, like,
very
a miniature. It had to have been a miniature they threw into a little fucking pool.
Very easy.
It was just,
But then they're driving it faster and faster.
Right,
don't let the sun catch me.
The sun's coming.
They're doing their getaway because the sun's coming.
The sun's coming. Faster, faster,
faster.
It was very
faster,
sexual.
Faster, with sexual in the end.
And they start making out, don't they? From the back seat to the front seat, they're like, I'm trying.
I like the way that Travis's imagination playing with the I think she was maybe there was some hair caressing.
I'll tell you, there's definitely some. I was like, what is going on here?
It was the faster.
You should
faster.
Be driving, not getting sexually aroused by her telling you to drive faster.
And then at that point. Because everything we were expecting has not happened. The thing that we were probably expecting happens, and they crash off the road, and the countess gets thrown from the car and impaled on a huge branch that's just right there on the side of the road.
Which is awesome.
I'm
going
to argue the angle of impalement versus the car, but that's just nitpicking.
Yeah, that's definitely. Had to see the car burn, which they could have just put the car.
Yeah, then the car explodes.
Right,
explodes. And then catches fire and burns the countess. It's
countess.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit. But it almost felt like the end of Lost Boys, even though, I just like that idea that a vampire can die. Well, shit, I remember Dracula 80, 1974?
72.
I like how the wagon wheel or the stagecoach crashes and he gets impaled on the fucking wagon wheel. I just kind of like accidental impalement. Yeah. You know.
But this is very abrupt when this happens. It's like
it's not abrupt. I'm like, dude, drive faster. Yeah, it was like a fucking like bad propaganda like education driving film. Drive faster. Drive. Nothing bad can happen if we drive so fast.
And maybe the other thing too is because it's so excessive. I would say it's excessive. Yeah. She's impaled, car blows up, and she catches on fire.
Right.
It's out of tone with, and not that I, it's not that I don't like it, but it is out of tone with the like kind of subtle, you know, kind of.
It's shocking.
Yeah, it's shocking. It works.
They want you to be like, oh, fuck.
Even the way they film it, because like you see them in cars earlier, but the way that they like represent driving is they take the camera and they move it in and out almost like a zoom in and out only on the windshield.
Yeah.
So you're like, then this is like actual footage of a car like speeding down this, you know, wooded highway.
I like that because once again, like you don't expect the vampire to die in a car accident like a normal way.
Yeah.
Just like everything else in this movie is kind of a normal human way of things. Like
mundane life takes over and they die in a car accident.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of cool.
Again, abrupt, but I did not like it.
Yeah.
Then the M. Night Shyamalan ending.
Yeah, so this is where it should. See, I would have been happy if it ended right there.
I like this ending.
But then there's another ending.
Different ways they could have done this.
Ending number three is pretty good.
All they had to do was kill Stefan at the fucking beach, and this movie would have been better.
And you couldn't, or then have the impalement on the way back.
Well,
but you wouldn't have had the impalement. But you would miss the power struggle. The reason that they kept it going,
they could have done it at the beach. They could have done it.
Yeah, you're right.
They could have done it.
They could have had that discussion at the beach
for sure, dude.
Okay, all right.
88 minutes. Travis is
got it. Could have been like, I'm going to edit this movie. Like, I'm going to get an editing bay, download this whole thing, and I will have a better version. The American version. 87 minutes.
Big fucking American flag.
Yeah, just like a goddamn good vampire movie should be. 87 minutes.
And the
show up in a black cape, bite a neck, get impaled, end a fucking movie. Roll credits. 87 minutes.
A shiny, bespectacled black cape in this movie. It's Batman
so my M. Night Shyamalan ending that I do love. I love it because I was first like, why the fuck? Wow, okay, we're not going to see Valerie burning in the car?
There you go.
Valerie did not burn in the car.
4 months later.
4 months later, she ends up with a young couple.
At some other hotel.
In fucking Elizabeth, in Battery's fucking whatever they call her, Batten?
Bathory.
But they didn't call her that. They called her
Batory.
Batory? Yeah, Batory or whatever.
The Batory.
She's wearing her sequence cape. And she's speaking in her voice. So it's Valerie's body speaking in her voice. So I'm like, dude, so what we thought was a Renfield relationship, like where I'm your slave, I'm your like whatever, what actually turned out to be is this vampire has kind of like a backdoor body solution to where.
But I
kind of.
Because I don't know if this is what they meant.
I don't
because
know
it almost you seemed know, to me. That the choice to maybe dub her voice in was like an afterthought. Like, oh, you know
she's
what?
She's wearing her cape. It's her voice. It has to be her personality. It's her soul inside her body. She just uses, like, in this world, you're either your vampire, like, because we don't know if they're vampires or if they're Renfield, like, zombie-type characters.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the evil things affect... She has a reflection, right? I mean, they didn't
Except
ever...
Except for her fucking fingers.
No, the other girl.
Well, the other girl, the Renfield girl, Alona, or whatever fuck her name is. Elona.
Elona,
whatever. Yeah, so that's why it's like, I don't think they were vampires. They were kind of Renfields. But in this world, Renfields are used, like, as a secondary body. Like, if you die, your vampire soul will go to your...
They're a Horcrux.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, what?
The Horcrux.
Nothing. Nothing. Just skip it.
Skip it.
It's the Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's like a
receptacle of the. It's a reliquary except for your soul.
To go into it.
All right. Well,
they say.
But it's basically. I mean, it's not. I mean, it's not like it's not beneficial. It's the same. It's the same deal that you can put into something else. That you can.
It is your backup hard drive.
Yeah.
Like
if
your shit fails, you can just.
Which is cool. I thought that was a cool way to explain a vampire. You know?
I'll take it. Yeah. Like, that's perfectly fine.
I would definitely buy that. I would buy into that, definitely.
Yeah, because just because Pierre said, I saw you 40 years ago, that does not mean that is the body of Elizabeth Bathory.
It just means she has
a different body. And she's always looking at, like, oh, look at her skin. Oh, it's so pale. She is always looking for the body type she wants to inhabit.
But then wouldn't Alona at some point have been...
She died, though. Well, she was that, but she wants to leave, right? She wants to get out of there.
Yeah, but I also got the impression,
Elizabeth,
I don't know.
She's like arranging her secondary body. Plus, why not have three or four bodies around? Yeah, they didn't necessarily just say
because,
like...
No, it feels because like her...
Yeah, because Elizabeth, we know that the woman who shows up in 1971 is the same one who visited 40 years
but
earlier.
But she hasn't died yet.
But she hasn't aged either. She's not gonna die.
You're not supposed... It's not about... So obviously, like she does die. You get impaled.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But that's what I'm just saying. That's the secondary body. You got to keep it around in case. You
but
don't...
she's looking at, like, eternal life. I mean, I see what you're saying.
But they keep them young, too. When they... The Renfields also have the young thing,
right,
too.
And they would
not in, like, the Dracula world. In this world. In this world, her Renfield vampire counterparts or whomever she makes... Her what would you call it? She is her, like, what was Dracula's fucking women? Those three women,
the brides.
The brides. Yeah. What do they call the brides?
The brides of Dracula.
Anyway, so it's the same difference, you know, where they stay young forever too, right. Because when she dies, she's just gonna whoop go right into there.
And if they
and left, that's Eternals,
they would die.
Yeah,
that's why there's a conversation in the middle of the movie that says you can't leave.
Well, that could also explain why when Valerie gets bitten, she falls under some, like a spell, like a trance.
Yeah, she's
where it doesn't seem like Alona is under the same trance, but Valerie once the Countess.
She said, "In time, you will love me the way I love you." She said that, "In time, you will love me the way I love you." Battery said that to Valerie after the train station.
Yeah,
she's like, "In time, you will love me the way I love you." Same thing with whatever. It takes time to. It's almost just like let the right one in, right? You got to get the person like infatuated with you, so they want to help you as a vampire your whole life.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. So is that Daughters
wrapping
of Darkness?
It up?
Daughters of Darkness wrapping it up.
That's wrapping it up.
I believe that would start with me, huh?
Yeah.
You know, more and more that we do these podcasts, I think about how, man, I wish we would have done this before or had a conversation like this before I saw the movie, because like everything is so much more clearer, you know? It's like going into this film, you don't know what the fuck is going on for, I would say, it's, what is it, 100 minutes? For about 50, at least 50 minutes in, right? Halfway in. You're an hour in, you don't know what's going on. And they're like building all these things, like Travis says.
Yeah, they got all these mysteries.
Like, throughout the film, you're waiting for like at least one mystery to be solved. And they after that, they do start to, you start to figure some stuff
that's
out.
That's interesting. Oh, you're going to ignore that.
But right. Yeah, I still, you know, I mean, it is interesting how this film reinforces the idea of if you have a great concept for a film and writing, you know, like you have a really good story, like budget doesn't really matter because you can go back and watch this film over and over again and you're going to find out like, oh, like that's what they were like, you know, I mean, that's, I guess the next time I watch it, I'm going to take this conversation that we just had with me and I'm going to be like, oh, well, yeah, that's exactly what we were talking about. And there it is, you know, the proof in the movie, the proof is in the pudding, as they say. And when you go back and watch it, like, I think that's all going to be present, and I think that's what makes a good film. I don't think like they just, you know, they didn't take like, even though it's not even exploitation film really, because they're not relying on the idea of lesbian vampires or vampires really, because they're exploring new avenues to all of that, and the story that they're actually telling, like, it doesn't have to be a vampire story. You know, I mean, like what Travis says about with the men and the whole, you know, women's liberation.
Yeah, it's definitely
right.
Like
a domestic story about a couple and meeting other people as they're traveling abroad.
And the vehicle of vampirism is an interesting way to present it. Vampirism. So for that, I mean, like, my hat's off to this Harry Kumel. I don't know what, if he's ever
this Harry Kumel. What the fuck's a Harry Kumel?
But my hat's off to him because I mean, he made a dynamite movie. I don't know if he's ever done it again, but this is a good one, and I would definitely recommend it to my friends and family.
No writer on this movie.
I don't know about my family.
No, there's no writer on this movie.
What?
So you're recommending it?
I totally recommend it.
No, yeah. There's no writer on this movie.
I'm going to watch it again.
Huh. On the back of the box.
At least on the back of the box, anyway.
Yeah, that's weird.
Oh, Daughters of Darkness.
That's right, we're doing a show.
I was surprised by this movie. Everything, and I'm glad, because everything I was expecting to happen, which, you know, if it had happened, I probably would have just been like, oh, yeah, it's, you know, it's a vampire movie, and... but, you know, like we said, it subverted every expectation, which was, you know, I appreciate more than anything. This is going to give me what I expect. I would watch it. I would definitely watch it again, maybe a couple more times, just to, you know, just to, like you said, you were talking about, you know, they know what they're doing. And like I said, I don't give enough credit to these, to older films in thinking they know what they're doing. I'm just like, oh, they just made a fucking movie, and now, you know, we go back and we assign stuff to it, and it's fucking bullshit. These people knew what they were doing, and I give it a lot of credit for not doing what might be expected of a vampire movie. I was very surprised. I like where they went with it. It could have ended in four different places, but... still very interesting to watch. I like the actors in this movie. I was never bored with watching their performances. I liked them, so I'd watch it again. I'd recommend it. It's one of the better ones.
I literally like, okay, the only vampire movies I would ever consider owning is Fright Night, Lost Boys, From Dusk Till Dawn, Let the Right One In.
Vampire movies start at 1985.
I like vampire, because I just think they're so fucking played out. Like I said, so many vampire movies have the whole...
She looks exactly like your long lost
love. And the painting and everything.
They just like, oh God, you want to talk?
Do they?
I mean, it just drives me crazy. It's like...
Fright Night does that, by the way.
And then, of course, nowadays, how
just saying.
It does do that, but he was making an homage
and
to those.
Yeah, and that's probably like the last one.
It has to be the last one. Like, no, it's not the last one. Fucking Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula did it. They still did it but that's not in the book, though. The reincarnated love. I forget where that originally comes from.
It came from the 73.
It comes from a movie.
It's the 73 Dracula with Jack Palance.
Is it Jack Palance?
Yeah.
Jack Palance in it.
I want to see that.
Dracula.
I want to see that.
Oh, I can't wait to see that. Yeah, I totally want to see that.
He just looks pained the whole way through.
So, but this is like, I was surprised by this movie, because I just fucking hate vampire movies. I rail against them. My brother just is so in love with vampire movies, so I've seen a lot of them growing up, more than I care to fucking even think about. And I like how this went away from, like, the gray hair to the black haired slick back guy, slick black hair in the fucking cape and the medallion necklace that all the 70s fucking... and I'm telling you, like, I think if it wasn't for this actress that played Countess Battery, I mean, she fucking made this movie to me. Oh, I loved her. I mean, she is the Jerry Dandridge. She is the, you know... She is fantastic in this movie, and I think the main actress that plays the wife, she's a fucking knockout too. She's just a beauty. My God, she's a beauty.
Yeah, be Danielle.
Good looking.
Wiemet.
I didn't care much for the fucking sadomas. Like, I thought they were trying. I don't know if they were just trying to throw you off too much or try. I just didn't care so much for. Because, I mean, they didn't go anywhere with it. They set up this whole like husband's got a weird lifestyle that they just. Fucking just stop exploring, and I just think that's a poor choice. It's like, dude, this was the first half of the movie. You're not gonna fucking show us what the fuck's up with him? Amen. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Why set it? Why you just? It's like they could have done. They might as well just went with my mother doesn't like you. Why create such a fucking convoluted thing not to pay it off? Doesn't make any fucking sense.
It's confounding when you look back.
That's it, dude. When I edit this, I'm editing it out all that convoluted shit. I might edit out the whole sadomasochistic relationship because it makes no sense in this movie. It tries to.
When I edit it.
I'm going to edit this movie. I want to see my version of this movie. Because I think it's a really good vampire movie, which I don't fucking say. A lot.
Yes.
I fucking really dog on vampire movies. I barely give them a chance anymore because either they're too romantic or or you're supposed
to rely on everything you've seen before.
Or yeah, or they just whatever. Or they have to rely on like, oh, modern day science, or it's a war, it's a street war with a werewolf. You know, I'm fucking sick of that shit, you know. I'm sick of the old vampires, I'm sick of the new vampires. I just want a good enemy for my movie. That's what I want. I want a good bad guy, a good villain. That's all. I don't care if they're fucking bald and white with pointy ears or fucking hot women or what. I just want a good bad guy that's cool. And I just thought this chick was awesome. She steals every scene. The whole fucking movie is her. It's her. And the story's simple. I like how simple the story is. It's really just, I mean, fuck, it's people sitting in a hotel room talking about sadomasochistic behavior. And it gets them all hot and bothered, you know?
That's simple?
I think it's pretty simple.
Terribly, it's simple.
It's pretty simple because, like, normal, like, if this movie was written with normal people, like, Francis would be like, what the fuck are you rubbing all over my husband for? Talking about chopping nipples off? But it's not that movie. These people are, like, fucked up.
Imagine
in the
Michael Bay version of this.
Right?
The Michael Bay. Really unlikable teenagers. Problem.
It would be all over the world.
No, I mean, just like if you were to the character types that he would put in this movie, it would just be like.
But I just don't want to get so convoluted if we're not going to really have if it's not going to
pay off.
But still, resolution. But still, I might even own this movie one day just because I liked her so much. I thought she was such a fucking cool vampire. It's like, holy fuck, man. Like I said, like when they showed her, they were shooting a fucking movie from the 20s. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a nostalgic movie from the 20s. When they showed the rest of the movie, it was like, yeah, it's the 70s. You know, nothing special. They showed her. It's like, oh, God, those are beautiful images. She looks beautiful. Everything she says is awesome. I mean, yeah, I like this movie a lot. I thought it was really good. Not to say it didn't have its faults. I mean, I'm not even going to say, like, I would watch this every, you know, day of my life or not like that. But it's still, like, when it comes to, like, you know, like, this, like, slides in at, like, number, like, I don't know, 7 on my, like, I mean, I don't have, I wouldn't even say I've got a top 10 vampire list. I don't even know if I can have that many vampire movies I like.
Can I put in, like, an audio stinger, like, number 7.
Coming in at number 7. And coming in at number 7 is Daughters of Darkness. So, yeah, I like this movie. I can't say it's perfect, but it's one of those, like, I like it because I like it. It's not great, you know, but fuck it.
Well, I'm in the same boat. I mean, I like it because I like it. I think it's one of those things, like, I mean, again, it's one of my favorite, specifically of the lesbian vampire subgenre. The vampire film.
Top you know, 5 lesbian vampire
I think,
movies.
You know, I mean, like, there's other ones that are more exploit. I mean, I do have a soft spot for the vampire lovers, maybe, you know. But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that, like, Gene Rollin did, you know, like, I'm just not, like, too crazy about some of those. And what was the guy? Jess Franco made, like, with his wife, Linda Romain, they made, like, a fuck ton of, like, Vampiros Lesbos and Lips of Blood and, like, all this stuff. And they're really hard to watch. And even the one that came. Oh, yeah.
Where was that movie?
Yeah.
What are you showing?
What does that mean in Spanish?
You know? And then Hammer did, like, a whole bunch of them, but all the Hammer ones were basically the Karnstein. Story just kind of redone over and over. Here's the sequel to it or whatever. This one, I think, like, approaches it from the perspective of, like, you know, it's more adult than those movies. Those movies are always trying to cater to the juvenile in you that wants to see.
I mean, those are sexploitation.
Yeah, you want to see hot women naked, making out with, and a bunch of, you know, biting.
Like, I think the trailer of this is one of those movies where you're like, oh, yeah, man, we're going to go see this dirty sexploitation. What? Yeah. They fooled me with a trailer.
It sits uncomfortably between the art house and the grindhouse. Yeah. It's art house in its aspirations, but it ended up playing on 42nd Street. You know, I mean, that's where it right? found its audience.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like...
Well, just because it is foreign, right? I mean...
Yeah. I think so. And because it was the thrill of the forbidden, you know, taboo kind of subjects back
naked
in the day.
Naked girls!
Yeah.
but on then the screen?
It totally subverts all of your expectations. It treats it like, and I guess that's the thing, is it a postmodern vampire movie where it's like, we know what vampire movies are. It's Christopher Lee in a cape wandering around with a medallion and, you know, in the fog and all this stuff, because it knows that those movies exist, because it keeps doing shout outs to those moments, but like doing like, okay, we know that they have capes that, you know, but it does it in a ridiculous way, or like a way that calls attention to itself, or even the inspector, the vampire hunter, you know, it's like, we're going to get rid of him because like he's, you know, who, this is the Van Helsing. In another vampire movie, this would be like the guy.
Yeah.
And in this movie, it's like, meh, you know, he's kind of an annoyance off the, I don't have time for you. And, you know, she goes, it just brushes him off, which I think is kind of great. Yeah, I mean, it's like a grown, and by the way, there's like screenplay by three people on that box. I'm just saying, Sean. There you
go. Oh, I missed that. That's my bad.
Yeah, I think, I mean, totally the movie is owned by, I mean, like when you
those
see
glasses aren't prescription. They're just,
no, they're just
from
they're
the groceries. They're plastic. They're for show. GQ.
But it wasn't down next to producer, so we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But it's owned by Delphine Seyrig.
Delphine.
Again, haven't seen anything else that she's done, but she towers over every scene that she's in this movie through this really like sly kittenish. I don't know what
she
else
is
you would
like
say,
20s movie starlet. 20s movie starlet. She's just yes.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just like, oh, I love you.
She's like, it's
everything
like,
in the way she talks.
She is like the 1920s seductress. You can't be too sexy, yeah, but you can kind of
smile. The thing about her that, like, somehow, like, I mean, all that's true, like, but there's fuck. Like this kind of like bored aristocratic kind of, you know, like,
for sure.
She's just kind of like, you know,
mischievous.
You know, we're
well,
just,
she's,
yeah,
well,
yeah,
she's
yeah.
Free.
I shouldn't talk about this, but, you know, I have this on my mind and whatever. And that's, it's just, she's very compelling.
Well,
I
mean, but she's telling people, I'm more free than you. You're a little bit more subdued.
She is.
Yeah. You know, it piques someone's interest to be like, what are you talking about? You know,
right.
I'm sorry.
It's a character that will just say those things.
Yeah, yeah. So she's really cool to watch. Mm-hmm. But I also think that, you know, I think the other characters are interesting. I mean, you know, I think you were saying something in your wrap up, Brent, that about how, that it creates all these mysteries. It's like an hour into it, you don't know what's going on. It's because you're compelled, because you're watching it and you're like, this is intriguing.
Yeah.
These people are interesting. They're intriguing. I don't know where this is going, but I like that about, you know, when I watch a movie, I don't want to know what the fuck is going to happen.
Right.
You know, that this is predetermined that they're going to do this. I kind of like it where it's like, what in the fuck? Well, yeah. I mean, that's where I think this movie doesn't necessarily stick the landing. I actually don't like the final ending on this, because it's like, I'm just, I'm maybe just not clear on what's happening. I know Travis interpreted it.
I'm pretty good on this. I know it.
I don't know if but even if that's true, I don't know
it's
if I like
true.
It. I think I would have liked to have it like after she burns, you know, the thing went, you know, but, you know, and I'm not going to hold that against the movie. I still think...
Because I would have thought it would suck if she just died, then the credits rolled. I would have been like, well, fuck, everybody just dies.
That's how Jaws
sucks.
Ends, damn it. No, okay.
Jaws does not end like that.
You kill the
Sheriff
fish.
Sheriff Brody comes back to
that's
his family.
No, I'm talking
American Werewolf in London. They kill him and then it's over.
Well,
you
but she's left crying.
You know what? I haven't seen that movie, so it's just not.
Are you fucking nuts? God, Sean's fired.
I knew that.
Sean will no longer be featured on the Saturday Night Show or Saturday Night Free Show. He's just been fired. The official pink papers.
Oh, boy.
God damn it. It's only the most... I'm going to yell at you.
It's
outside.
Like the best werewolf movie that's ever been made.
Only the most important.
It is the most important fucking special effects movie ever made,
it's the first one that it created the... Because
this
of that
is not
movie,
the movie we're talking about.
I know, but you just fucking opened
Oscar
a can of worms.
For
anyway,
makeup effects.
Oh, God.
And one.
All right.
But yeah, I can't remember where I was going
sorry
with this. Okay, so what do we got? I think it's well made. I think it's well acted. I think it's... would I recommend it to people? Yes, because I think that this is one of those movies where, you know... as far as, like Travis was saying, as far as vampire movies go, you've seen so many things that are very similar This one strikes out and tries to do something different, and that makes it unique. And, I mean, you're not going to forget that you saw this.
And sometimes...
like, later on, you're going to be going, that's that fucking movie. Yeah.
I will always remember this movie.
Sometimes when people try to do different vampire movies, it fucking goes horrible. Like, yeah. Because it gets too, like, well, fuck, that's not a vampire. Or, you know.
And just, you have to... you do have to go with the grain of salt that it is a product of its time. Its pacing... I think is, it's, you know, at the time that was acceptable. Now we want things a little faster. So, I mean, you have to adjust to that, but I think it still it still delivers a very satisfactory cinematic experience.
Whoa, that was,
you know what? I'm going to,
I saw all the dots in between.
I'm going to revert my recommendation. I'm going to recommend Travis's 87 minute version of this film when it comes out. I want
to
see
it. Dude, I tell you, I know exactly what scenes to cut.
I'm giving you 2 years.
It's trademarked.
All right, so that's Daughters of Darkness.
That's it.
So
I think we all recommended it. Four out of four again.
Hey,
holy shit.
Wow.
Good streak.
All right, I'm actually surprised by that because this one was kind of iffy. You got to understand. Going into it, I'm like, I don't know how this one's going to go. Four out of four.
I think a discussion helped this movie.
I think discussion helped this movie.
Because right after the movie, it was like, no.
Yeah, it helps.
But they gave you a lot to discuss.
They gave
it to you.
There was something to chew on.
Because a lot of
times... It is a meal. It is not just candy.
Yeah, we just digested it.
There you go.
And now we'll shit it out.
And never talk about it ever again.
I never had this experience of watching this movie. So next week is Travis's movie pick. What's it going to be?
Out of the rust and out of the slime. Everybody knows that he's here for mankind, the Toxic Avenger.
Hello.
There you go. It's the Toxic Avenger on sharp as hell Blu-ray, I'm assuming.
Yeah, on Blu-ray for the first time ever. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Because even DVD copies were like, this is cleaned up, all right? All right.
Sure.
If you say so.
Heavy grain. Blu-ray sharpened grain. Maybe they cleaned it all up.
Sharp grain.
Yeah, that's next week.
I can see the grain very clearly.
That was my experience with Young Frankenstein. I was like, whoa, really? That movie is a grainy movie. Black and white.
Well, there you go.
But so that's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. And until then, you can find us on your usual podcast hangouts, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and about a dozen more. We're everywhere.
What is it?
YouTube.
YouTube, Castroller, Player FM.
I think even that's wrong.
We're everywhere. That you want us to be, and places you don't want us to be.
Right.
And let's not go there, but we're coming there.
I think the podcast is starting to go away.
We're going to
end.
We're going to do four endings.
Oh, four. Okay.
Here's the new one. This podcast is over.